And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. All right, we're getting a little late start here on the WGN Radio Theater. We got bumped for an hour, but we're here. We're here now, right, Lisa?
We are here. It's 12:09, and we have 2 hours.
Bump us of too
great.
Far. We're not.
We're unbumpable.
We're unbumpable.
Right.
Yeah, we still have 2 more hours of the WGN Radio Theater here. This is program 116 in the series. That's a lot of shows.
It certainly is.
Yeah, you deserve a medal.
I know. I can't argue.
And I deserve $1 billion.
Well, that's for sure.
Send you a medal. I'll take $1 billion.
That's fair.
Elif Garris, our producer, is in the booth. Hi, Elif. How are you?
Hi. Good, good. What do I deserve?
I'll share that billion with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. Half and half.
I'm feeling
you
left
have,
out.
You could have $5 of it.
$5
I am very generous. All
yes,
right, so
he is.
In this, I bought you pretzels yesterday.
Yes,
cost me $1 two days ago.
It was
cost
yesterday.
No, it was 2 days ago because today's Monday.
Today is Monday.
It was
Monday.
On Saturday that it
you're
happened.
Con-
so there you
he's
go.
Right.
He's
right.
Confusing.
Hey, can you please, I want a copy of that. She said, he's right.
Go.
I want to be able to just play that over and over again. This hour, it's This Is Your FBI from 1947, and also the Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I think I did this because wasn't the movie that Brad and Angelina
yeah,
in, Mr.
They,
and Mrs. Smith?
I think that's where they met.
Yeah, and yeah. So I just decided, let's play this because there's so much buzz going on about them.
Yeah,
this is how they met.
Way too much buzz.
Yeah.
It's just not that buzzworthy.
All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming drama Manchester by the Sea about an uncle who is forced to take care of his teenage nephew after a boy's father dies.
What do they win?
They will win 2 tickets to see Mamma Mia at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, like the music of ABBA.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actor speaking here.
If you had access to a car like this, would you take it back right away? Neither would I.
All right, if you know who that actor is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater Show 116, playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
If you had access to a car like this, would you take it back right away? Neither would I.
Let's talk to Pat from Darien. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Great. Do you recognize that voice?
It sounds like Matthew Broderick.
It definitely sounds like Matthew Broderick. And you are definitely a winner. You've won a pair of tickets to see Mamma Mia. It's a great show. It really is. It's playing right now at the Paramount Theater in Aurora through October 30th. And, of course, you will get to enjoy all the music of ABBA. So check out for more information, ParamountAurora.com. Pat, thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate your starting with us late on the WGN Radio Theater tonight.
Well, you have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you
Pat.
Too.
Appreciate it. All right, it's time for This Is Your FBI. This was an FBI drama, Lisa. It was fact-based, and it dramatized closed FBI cases from the agent's point of view. And it was created, produced, directed by Jerry Devine, and he was of Mr. DA fame. He also created that series as well, Mr. District Attorney. Now, this was another one of the series about the FBI that was actually endorsed by the top guy, J. Edgar Hoover. And the agent was Jim Taylor. It was all told through Agent Jim Taylor. It was sort of like Sergeant Joe Friday on Dragnet. Mm-hmm. Well, this was Agent Jim Taylor. Now, the action shifted from the agent to the criminal, back to the agent to the criminal again. It was very well done, very good series. It aired for a long time. It was on ABC from 1945 through 1953, and it was always sponsored by one sponsor, the Equitable Life Assurance Society of America, whatever that is. I don't think they're around anymore.
Well, of course, it's Equitable Life Assurance.
Life Assurance. Not insurance.
I gotcha.
All right, let's go back to a broadcast date of September 12th, 1947. This is called The Innocent Witness. Here's part one of This Is Your FBI.
This program was transcribed from an earlier network broadcast. The Equitable Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This is your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, transcribed and presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Tonight's FBI file, The Innocent Witness. There is a feeling shared by many citizens that the current crime wave, the most serious and widespread in the history of the nation, is the concern of local police departments and other law enforcement agencies. In part, that is true, because it is their problem. But it is not their problem exclusively. The crime wave is also your problem, and it is shared with you by every other decent, law-abiding American. Because any study of the 5,000 major crimes committed in this country every day shows that the great majority of victims are innocent people. For that reason, it is to your best interest to see to it that your local police department is as strong as possible and as free from corrupt political influence as it can be. In that way, you'll be helping to protect everyone in your community, including yourself. Tonight's FBI file opens on the crowded west side of a large eastern city. In a hall in this modest neighborhood, a small dance band is playing music for a Saturday night dance. One of the couples on the floor, young Nick Gonzalez and his girl Peg, are paying much more attention to each other than to the music.
Peg?
Yes, Nick?
What do you think I did during lunch hour today?
What?
I went looking at furniture.
Oh? What'd you see?
Oh, a living room suit, all covered with that plush stuff, just the way you wanted it.
Was it very expensive?
Honey, everything is expensive.
Well, yes,
look,
but
if we're gonna get married, we gotta have furniture.
I know that.
Well, then let me worry about the money end.
Hey, Nick!
Huh?
Over here!
Hey, honey, look who's there. It's Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's dance over to the edge.
Okay.
Hiya, Nicky, old boy.
Hiya, Phil.
Long time, huh?
Yeah. Hey, you remember Peg, don't you, Phil?
Sure. Hello, Peg.
Hello.
You know, the last time I saw you, honey, you were playing with dolls.
Hey, now, wait a minute. She wasn't that young. When we were in the eighth grade, she was in the fourth, remember?
Nicky, I was just kidding. Still sucker for a rib, huh?
I guess so. Hey, what brings you back to the neighborhood, Phil?
Well, to tell you the truth, kid, I came here to see you.
Oh?
It's, kind of a private matter.
Well, Nick, I'll let you two talk.
Hey, wait, Nick. Phil didn't mean that.
It's private, Nick.
I'll go powder my nose.
Hey,
I'll
Peg.
Get the soda fountain as soon as you're free.
Okay.
Let's sit down over here, huh? Yeah, we'll grab this booth, Nick.
Right.
Sit down over there.
Okay.
I'll fill you in on why I'm here.
Go ahead.
Last Sunday, there was a shooting down on 12th Street.
Mm-hmm.
According to my information, there was one witness to that thing. You were it, Nick.
That's right.
I also understand that a guy paid a call on you the other day and tried to get to change your testimony.
Yeah?
You, chased the guy away.
Sure.
I work for the same fellow who sent him. Yeah, I'm here for the same reason.
Wait a minute. Phil, you mean you're mixed up with that...
Kid, let's stay with the business at hand, huh? You see, my boss knows I went to school with you, and he asked me to tell you it's very important to him that you forget what you saw.
I couldn't do that, Phil.
Not even for an old pal?
Not for anybody. I saw a poor guy got shot down in cold blood. I saw the two men who gave it to him. They deserved a book thrown right in their faces.
Oh, but kid, you don't
Look, I don't want to hear any more of this. I gotta find Peg. I'll see you around again sometime. Just a minute.
Hi again.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Can I come in and see you a minute?
Sure, come ahead.
Thanks. Hey, nice little room you got here.
Well, that's okay.
I just dropped by, kid, to see if you changed your mind since last night.
No, Phil, I haven't.
I didn't think you would. Hey, nice picture of Peg.
I tended it myself.
Yeah? Nice. Say, what does I hear about you two?
What do you mean?
You're gonna get married, is that true?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you let a guy know these things?
Well, I haven't seen you in 4 years, Phil. Where can I get a hold of you?
Ah, that was a rib, kid.
Okay.
When are you getting married?
Next month.
Big church wedding, I suppose.
Yeah.
All kinds of preparations.
Uh-huh.
You know, it'd be a shame to spoil all that, wouldn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, have something happen that would upset everything.
What are you talking about?
That shooting you were a witness to.
Well?
Remember there was a third guy, the guy who got away, the guy nobody saw?
Yeah.
I just got the word this morning on who that third guy was. It's Peg's brother.
What?
Her brother, Jimmy.
Wait. Is this another one of those ribs, Phil?
No, kid. This time I'm leveling. The boss himself gave me the information. Told me to pass it on to you.
Oh, I see.
He also said to tell you that if you testify that you recognize the two killers, they'll turn around and blow a whistle on Peg's brother.
Oh.
I hate to hand you one like this, kid.
Oof. What can I do? I can't change my testimony.
Oh, you can go away. In fact, I got a place all picked out.
I could never get away with that.
Look, you stay under till the trial's over. Then you cop a plea. Amnesia. Worked before, kid. Plenty of time.
Well, when do you think I should go?
Right now.
Several miles away in the same city at the FBI field office, Special Agent Jim Taylor is seated at his desk working. A visitor interrupts him.
Jim Taylor?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Sergeant McAllen, police headquarters.
Oh, hello there, Sergeant. How are you?
Fine, how are you? Your agent in charge told me to come in and see you.
Oh, I see. Well, sit down, Sergeant.
Thank you.
Now, what's on your mind?
Well, I wonder if you remember reading about a shooting that occurred a week ago Sunday. It happened on West 12th Street.
Yes, I do. I believe the victim was shot in the back by two gunmen who were later picked up by the police.
That's right. We have him in custody now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's sort of an inside story to that shooting, Jim.
Really?
Yeah, the victim was a bit of a civic crusader, a champion of clean politics, a good government, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got reason to believe that he had compiled some pretty damaging information about a corrupt political leader named Smith.
I see.
And indications are that Smith had this man killed.
Well, can you prove it?
Unfortunately, no, but we did have a strong case against the two gunmen.
Did have?
Yeah, you see, the killing was observed by a single witness, and that witness is now missing.
Well, what's the story on that, Sergeant?
Well, the witness is a young man named Nick Gonzalez. And to the best of our knowledge, he's honest and reliable.
Mm.
And he was supposed to appear at the DA's office yesterday afternoon, but he didn't show. Well, we went to his rooming house, and he wasn't there. We set up his surveillance, and he didn't come home all night. In fact, he's still missing.
Did you check his place of business?
Yeah, I hadn't reported for work this morning.
Sergeant, look, tell me. You think this man, Smith, could have gotten to him and bribed him to go away?
I don't know. Inasmuch as it's only supposition that Smith is involved, there's no basis for questioning him.
No, that's right.
Well, in any case, we believe that there could be an FBI angle.
You mean unlawful flight to avoid testimony at a criminal trial?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you checked on Gonzalez's background, his relatives, his friends?
Well, he has a girl. He's supposed to marry her next month. Her name's Peg Martin. I'm going over to question her now.
Fine. And, Sergeant, let me know what you find out.
Phil? Hey, Phil!
What do you want?
Huh?
I said, what do you want?
Where's Phil?
He got back to town.
Who are you?
I'm in charge here.
In charge?
Yeah.
What are you running here, a prison camp?
Very funny.
What time is it?
Little after two.
In the afternoon?
Yeah.
Hey, how did I sleep so late?
How do I know?
Where is this place, anyway?
Just look out the window.
I can't see anything here but trees.
So you're near trees.
Look, what I meant is, how close are we to the city? What town are we in?
What are you asking me for? You drove here yourself last night.
I was blindfolded.
Phil blindfolded?
Yeah.
Well, let him tell you where you are.
But you said he's gone back to the city.
Look, stop bothering me, will you?
Okay. Can I get something to eat?
Yeah, there's food in the kitchen.
Swell. Think I'll eat and then take me a walk.
Oh, no. No walk.
Huh?
Phil's orders. You don't leave here.
Well, is there a phone here?
Yes. But you don't use it.
Now, wait a minute. Phil promised me I could get in touch with my girl, let her know where I am.
You don't use the phone.
But she'll be worried.
Now, ain't that too bad. You just stay put here till Phil comes back. You got any beefs? Tell them to him.
You got any beefs? Tell them to him.
Just and like a bad guy.
I'll have some sweet sweet peppers on my beef, too, by the way. And dip it. I like it to be a little juicy.
You sound like a bad guy.
That's how the bad guys all talk on there, yeah. If you got any beefs, talk to him. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a tamale with that. Hot tamale. I like those. Those are good.
You were born to be a bad boy.
Yeah. All right. So that's the first portion of The Innocent Witness on This Is Your FBI from 1947. See what I got here, Lisa?
I sure do, Carl. That's Remind Magazine, and you have one awesome article in there this month.
So, folks, if you've never heard of Remind Magazine, you should check it out online at remindmagazine.com. It's a magazine chock full of blasts from the past, from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. There's all kinds of crossword puzzles. There's all kinds of articles. There's ads. There's really fun stuff. And every issue has a different theme. Like the September issue is a theme about politics. It's called Talking Politics. On the cover, there's President Kennedy. And then there's some articles about Ronald Reagan in here. But I write an article every issue of Remind Magazine called Radio 360 that is about the golden age of radio. And in this particular September issue, it's all about Bob Hope, because he used to have a connection with politicians, and a lot of them were his friends. I mean, he was friends with presidents and governors and mayors and things, and he could kind of rib them a little bit. And so I wrote about Bob Hope. But next, the next issue, October issue, is about science fiction. So I wrote all about the War of the Worlds, and then the November issue is about couples, and I wrote about Ozzy and Harriet in there. And so I think our listeners especially would like this magazine.
I would like to clarify, when you said that's chock full of ads, what you really mean is vintage ads.
Yeah,
not,
vintage
not
ads.
Not like
yeah.
ads, but vintage yeah. ads that are actually really
Nostalgia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nostalgic ads. There's Ford in there
yeah.
and Palmolive and
All
that
kinds
kind
of fun
of thing.
Stuff. Yeah, and there's great puzzles in the vintage comics.
Crossword puzzles. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's all games to play. And it's a terrific magazine, Remind. And you can get this at newsstands, at Barnes & Noble, all across the country. But you know what? Because I write an article, they have extended to all of our listeners, so to my listeners, the opportunity to subscribe to this magazine at almost 60% off the newsstand price.
Are they just your listeners? I thought they were my
well,
listeners,
you know what
too.
I mean. Yeah. Well, you write vicariously through me.
No, but they're
yeah.
our listeners.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They're our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you would like to check this magazine out, just go to remindmagazine.com. I think you'll absolutely love this magazine. I love it. I can't wait to get the issue every
It's a great magazine. It's got full color pictures. And, you know, even the articles you write are pretty darn good.
What I do, I get the magazine in the mail and I go right to my article and read it.
I bet you do. And then a little bit.
And then I check the rest of it out. So, take advantage of 60% off the newsstand price by just going to remindmagazine.com. Okay? All right. We're tuning in to This Is Your FBI. Let's go back to September 12th, 1947, for the conclusion to Innocent Witness, now on This Is Your FBI.
You busy, Jim?
No. Come on in, Sergeant.
Thank you.
You get to talk to the Gonzalez girl?
Yeah, I just left her.
She give you anything?
Well, no, she hasn't seen him either. She was pretty worried about him. She said they had a date last night, and he didn't show up.
You think she was telling the truth?
Yes, I do.
Well, could she contribute anything as to where he might be?
Well, she did give me one lead, yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Well, they went to a dance Saturday night, and a guy named Phil Dayton showed up there.
Mm-hmm.
He'd gone to school with Gonzalez.
And?
Well, they went off in a corner and talked, and when Dayton left, the girl said Gonzalez was quite upset.
What about?
Well, she gathered that Dayton had tried to persuade the boy not to testify.
Oh, I see. Sarge, have you ever heard of this man, Dayton, before?
Oh, yeah, he's a stooge for the politician, Smith.
Well, that certainly ties in.
Yep.
Sergeant, look, before we can get in this case, we must be sure the witness has fled and then consult the United States attorney. Meanwhile, I'd certainly advise you to question this man, Dayton.
Hello?
Hello, Peg?
Oh, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick, where are you?
What? I can't tell you that.
What do you mean? What's happened?
I had to go away.
But where?
It's not far, honey. Just 1 hour's ride from town.
Nick, the police were here looking for you today. They questioned me for almost an hour.
What for?
It was about you. They think you've run away because of the trial. Nick, did Phil Dayton have something to do with your going away?
Phil Dayton? Why should he...
Well, you told me at the dance that he asked you not to testify.
Sure, but I told you then it didn't make any difference.
Look, you've got to come home at once.
Peg, I can't.
Well, listen to me. My family know about this. They think you've run away, too. If you don't come back, it can mean the end of our marriage. Of everything.
No.
Honey, that's what my father said.
But he can't do that.
I'm telling you.
Look, Peg, I'm doing this for you.
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't want to tell you, but I've got to.
What?
I did run away.
Oh.
I ran away because Phil told me your brother Jim was the third man in the killing.
Jim?
Yeah, that's why I'm in hiding. Look, honey, I can't talk much more. I had to sneak this phone call. Maybe the guy who's watching is asleep.
Wait a minute. That killing was a week ago Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jim was home here all night. We all were.
Are you sure?
My Uncle Ben was here, too, and he's a policeman. That should be evidence enough.
Well, sure it should. Peg, Phil lied to me. He must just...
Give me that phone. Told you not to make no calls.
Wait, I just found out something.
Get back in your room.
Oh, no, I'm getting out of here.
You're what?
I'm getting back to town.
No, you're not. Just staying right here.
Tonight's case in the files of your FBI makes one point which is well worth bearing in mind. And that is that you aid no one when you shield a criminal. The history of the various law enforcement agencies like your FBI throughout the country shows that the number of unsolved crimes is relatively small. So that you're condoning the actions of a criminal and obstructing the course of justice does not help him to escape, because there is no escape. All you do is to make it easier for him to commit another crime before his apprehension, and thus you become a partner in that crime. As a decent citizen, you enjoy many privileges. But because you enjoy those privileges, you also have a moral responsibility to your fellow citizens. And the only way to discharge that responsibility in a situation like the one in tonight's case is to call your local police and give them the facts. They will do their part, and you will have done yours. Tonight's file continues at young Nick's hideout. His old schoolmate, Phil, has just arrived from town.
Larry?
Right with you, Phil. I'm glad you got here.
Why?
I've been having trouble.
Yeah, what happened?
I caught the guy using the phone.
Oh, that's great. I thought I told
you... Look, I couldn't keep watching him every minute.
Who'd he call?
I don't know, but I stopped it quick.
Did you hear the conversation?
No.
Where's the kid now?
In his room. I had to belt him.
What for?
He wanted to blow out of here. Now, look, what's this all about? Well, we got him here in the first place.
Oh, he was a witness to that killing last Sunday. The big guy paid to have it done. The boys that did the job declared that unless they beat the rap, they'd talk.
Yeah, I get it.
Now I better go in and see Nick. Find out who he talked to.
Okay.
Hiya, Nick.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah. I thought I'd come out and see if there was anything you needed.
I need to get out of here.
Oh, now look, kid. Larry just told me what he did to you, and I'm giving him strict orders.
That had nothing to do with it. You lied to me, Phil.
About what?
About Peg's brother, Jim. I spoke to Peg on the phone. She said Jim was home all that Sunday night. She had witnesses.
Really?
Yeah. He just gave me that story so I wouldn't testify.
Oh, now that ain't so, kid. I only told you what the big guy told me.
You both lied. Now let me out of here.
Oh, kid, please, don't make me call on Larry again. Next time he'll use a gun. You stay here until the trial is over.
Do you think I'll keep quiet even then? If you do, you're crazy. Look, you can't keep me here forever, Phil. When I do get out, even if it's 5 years from now, I'll blast you and your boss wide open.
Well, thanks for the tip. I'll be talking to you later.
Jim?
Yes, Sergeant?
A Gonzalez girl called me a few minutes ago over at headquarters.
Oh?
He said that Gonzalez had just phoned her. He told her that he'd run away, all right, but he did it to shield her brother.
To shield her brother?
Yeah.
Well, what does he got to do with it?
Well, it's Phil Dayton that handed him a story that the girl's brother was mixed up in the killing.
And he fell for it?
Well, he's just a kid, Jim. The brother had been in trouble before, so I suppose he thought he was being noble about it all.
Oh, I see. Well, did she straighten him out?
Yeah. But in the middle of the conversation, she heard a man's voice shout something about, get off the phone. Then the receiver was hung up.
Did she hear from him again?
No.
Well, did he get a chance to say where he was?
Not specifically. The only thing he told her was that he was 1 hour from town.
Mm-hmm. And did she try to trace the call?
Uh-uh.
It's going to be a difficult one to locate, Sergeant. Oh, by the way, did you locate this man, Phil Dayton?
No, not yet. We're looking for him, though.
Well, now that Gonzalez knows the truth, you'll want to come back. But that man who grabbed the phone may prevent that.
Yeah.
We may have to go looking for him, Sergeant.
Have you got any suggestions?
Yes. Let's get a map. Now, if he was, say, 1 hour from town, that should cover about a 50-mile radius.
Yeah.
And we'll draw a circle at that point and contact every telephone exchange. See if they have a slip on anyone who's called that girl's number.
Hi, Nick.
What do you want?
Hi. Just went into town. I saw the big guy.
Your boss?
Yeah. I told him the whole story. I kind of hated to do it, kid, but after all, I worked for the guy.
Did you tell him I'd talk no matter how long you kept me here?
Yeah. He didn't like that much, but he figured out a way to keep you quiet.
He better forget it. It won't work.
Oh, don't be too sure, kid.
What was the big plan?
I'll show it to you. Larry. Bring in our company.
Okay.
Peggs, what are you doing here?
I brought her out with me.
Oh, honey.
Oh, darling.
They'll be okay. Want me to break him up, Phil?
Oh, of course not. Leave him alone. They're friends of mine.
Peg, why did you come here?
Phil called me. He said you wanted to see me.
That was a trick. He just wanted to get you here, too.
What do you mean?
He wants to hold us both.
What?
He's right, honey. You see, Nick wanted to make a lot of trouble for the man I work for, and I want you to convince him that'd be a big mistake. Now, I'll leave you here with him until he changes his mind.
Special Agent Taylor.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, hello, Sergeant.
Did you get anything yet from the telephone company?
No, I got a map full of pins here, but nothing's turned up.
I just went to see Peg Martin.
Gonzalez's girl?
Yeah. She'd gone out about a half hour before.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother told me that she'd gotten a phone call from Phil Dayton just before she left.
Uh-oh, that's not so good.
Yeah, I know.
Look, did she tell her mother where she was going?
No, as soon as she got the call, she ran right out of the house.
Sounds to me like they want to trap the girl, too.
Yeah. Dayton and Smith are pretty desperate men, Jim. There's no telling what they'll do with those kids.
Sergeant, you better get right over here. I've only got a dozen more exchanges to call. We may get something from one of them by the time you arrive.
Larry?
Huh?
How long would you say they've been in there?
Over an hour.
Well, that's time enough. Let's go in.
Okay. We use any muscle?
Don't be so anxious. Go ahead.
Bye.
Well, you two talk things over?
Yeah.
What's the verdict?
I want Nick to testify just as he planned.
You sure of that?
Look, we've made up our minds.
Too bad. Now I guess we'll have to handle things the way the big guy wanted it in the first place.
What do you mean?
His orders were that we should kill you.
What?
I was against it. After all, Nick and I are old pals. I asked the big guy to let me try to reason with you, but that didn't do any good.
Look, is this another one of your ribs?
No, kid, I'm sorry to say I'm leveling.
Honey, Nick, you can't be serious.
Honey, believe me, I am.
You'll never get away with a thing like this.
Why not?
The police know I'm missing.
So what? Next they'll find out you're dead. They won't be able to prove who killed you.
Well, you're wasting time.
Yeah. Well, who wants it first?
Nick.
Easy, honey.
Take care of him, Larry.
Oh, he's gone, Nick.
All right.
Hey, what is this? We'll be right in, Miss
Martin. Oh, it's you, Sergeant. Thank heaven.
Thank Mr. Taylor, too. He did the shooting.
All right, Sergeant, hop in there. We'll get those men ready for a trip down to headquarters.
Bill Dayton was tried, convicted, and given a 20-year sentence for assault, battery, and intimidation of a witness. His confederate, Larry Hudson, received the same sentence. Both terms were imposed in state court. And so another file was marked closed, and another crime was solved. Tonight's case was closed because a special agent knew what course of investigation to follow, and followed it despite the fact that it was slow, hard work. Now, that is part of the training given to every special agent when he applies to become a member of your FBI. Training which covers a number of months of intensive study in crime solution and also in crime prevention. That ability on the part of every special agent to analyze the ingredients in each case is the keynote of the success of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Success which has brought your FBI recognition as the finest organization of its kind anywhere in the world. Next week, we will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Mr. Big Shot.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society's broadcast are adapted from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. However, all names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight's program was transcribed, and the music was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. Your narrator was Dean Carlton, and Special Agent Taylor was played by Stacey Harris. This Is Your FBI is a Jerry Devine production. This is Larry Keating speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community, and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time when the Equitable Life Assurance Society will bring you another thrilling story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Mr. Big Shot on This Is Your FBI.
This program came to you by transcription. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
All right, that's This Is Your FBI, broadcast date of September 12th, 1947. The Innocent Witness, and that starred Stacey Harris in the lead role of Agent Jim Taylor. In the cast, you heard two very, very popular voiceover actors, William Conrad and Paul Frees. And that was a Jerry Devine production. He produced it. That Jerry, he was divine, you know?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He really was. And Larry Keaton doing the announcing is heard on ABC. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Wait, hang on. I'm writing this song. 1-800-641. What is it?
You got the number wrong.
Yeah, I want to make sure I got that number.
Oh, I'll give
get
it
that
to
number
you.
Right. You know what? Lisa's doing an American Greed this week, huh, Lisa?
I am.
Lisa the actress.
Yes.
You know, Lisa's not just a radio celebrity. She's not just a mom of four kids and a teacher and a woman with two brains.
Right.
But she is also a very, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Accomplished.
That's the exact word I was thinking of. Wow, you took the word right out of my very small brain.
I will let you know how it goes.
Lisa Elif, so Lisa is going to be in an American Greed episode. Where's it filming?
In Libertyville.
Ah. And what are you? Are you a criminal on it, probably?
Probably.
Because you look like a criminal.
Yeah, I know. That's sort
you
of
know,
my look.
You look like the tough,
pretty
the tough one. Yeah, you
yep.
are. You're pretty tough.
Yeah, yeah, I'm playing a police woman.
Are you?
No.
No. What are you playing? Do you know yet?
I don't even have the script yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were in another American Greed one
I've
time.
I've done quite a few
I remember watching that one on television. You were handcuffed. You came out of something and they handcuffed you.
That
and
wasn't
you,
American Greed,
what
but
was
I
that?
Did that. That's called...
Oh. Oh, Unsolved Mysteries. Is that
yeah,
what it was?
I've done a few handcuffs.
I did them.
I'm really into the handcuff thing.
Did they have fur on them?
A few episodes.
Did they have fur on
handcuffs.
Them or no?
That was Escaped. That's the one you're thinking
Escape,
of.
Escape, what?
Escaped. It was on the Discovery Channel.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Towers production.
Lisa's all over the television.
Oh, I'm all over the place.
And then you do something for, don't tell me the town, Morton
Mount
Grove?
Mount Prospect.
Sorry, Mount Prospect.
I work for the village of Mount Prospect.
You are busy.
I do Gosh. Restaurant interviews because...
Right. Are you sure you haven't cloned yourself?
Oh,
and
no.
I'm getting the
Listen,
clone once in a while?
Listen, we all have to make a living, right,
Some Saturdays
Carl?
And Sundays I get the clone over here.
Yeah.
And you got the clone and the clown.
The clown. I was going to say that. You beat me to it.
Yeah. All right. So let's remind all of our listeners about our contest that we
yes.
have once a month, would you?
Yes. Cat's Pride. We were hoping that you will send in a picture of you and your cat or just your cat is fine, too, to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And we can give you a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, the best kitty litter on the market if you are the one chosen from our random drawing, which we do once at the end of every month.
Yeah, and next Sunday.
It's going to be,
Dave's coming in, Dave Weiske. So Dan can't make it in, but Dave's coming in. He's going to pick a name. So
yes, we will have the drawing next Sunday.
All right, let's take a quick break, then we'll be right back. All right, so that's MeTV radio. Yeah, I watch MeTV all the time
sure
because they have
well.
The classic television shows. I
yep.
also watch Antenna TV.
I do,
with,
too.
A lot. So, I mean, I'm a huge
You're
classic
huge.
TV.
You're just
yeah,
plain
I'm
huge.
You know,
but, leave it at that.
You know, I love the classic television shows.
I do, too.
You know what's a lot of fun is when I'm watching MeTV or Antenna TV, and a show comes on, and its roots started in radio. Because not all of them, you know, a lot of them didn't.
No, most
you know,
actually
like,
started
like,
in television.
Yeah, but I mean, if you watch, like, Wild Wild West, that was not a radio show, okay?
Right.
Batman was not a radio
right.
show, although Batman did appear on the Superman radio series. But there's a lot of early television shows that did not start in radio, but it's a lot of fun to watch the ones that were.
What are a couple of your favorites that you like on MeTV? What do you like to watch?
Well, I just said two of them. Batman, mm-hmm. of course, I love Batman. And Wild Wild West. I love Wild Wild West because I like Robert Conrad. I
yeah.
thought he was great in that role. I've always liked Robert Conrad. I like The Fugitive and, of course, The Twilight Zone.
I do love The Twilight
you know?
Zone.
And then as far as the comedies, The Honeymooners is my favorite.
Mine, too.
You know, so.
Ultimate favorite.
Yeah, how about you? What do you like?
You know,
like?
That whole list I was going to say just yeah. came out this week from Rolling Stone magazine, the top 100 greatest TV shows of all time. You can
yeah.
check that out. The Honeymooners are on there and Mary Tyler Moore.
And number one, wait, don't tell me, number one show of all time was
Sopranos.
Sopranos, right. Yep. Yeah, they voted it number one.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad was number two. Yeah,
no, it was number three, I believe.
Mm. Wow, yeah. Wow. All right, so it's 1 o'clock in the morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. When we come back from the news, we're going to tune into the Screen Directors Playhouse, good comedy with Robert Montgomery. So don't go away. Very groovy. Oh, yeah. 1:06 in the morning on program 116 of the WGN Radio Theater. And I think all of our podcasts, pretty much every show that Lisa and I have ever done here on WGN, are podcast available.
It's
right?
True, and we shudder to think that our first show is actually out there.
I wouldn't want anyone to listen to that first
and available
show.
Because
it's brutal.
We go back and we think about how nervous we were and how
Ruxton.
maybe the first show probably wasn't our finest show. But,
was it Ruxton?
But it's it was a lesson in learning.
Steve
Ruxton.
Ruxton.
You had a little trouble with pronunciation.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
I brutalized his name.
I think he got so upset he left.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Steve. If you're out there, I really...
Oh, he's out there.
I'm just saying, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Oh, he's
I did not mean to brutalize your name just about on every
He's sticking
broadcast.
Pins in his little doll every night with
he
your name on it.
He hates me. You know that?
Yeah, probably.
He probably hates me.
He probably doesn't love you.
No. And
I mean, not everybody loves you.
I was completely innocent. I tried. You know how hard I tried. I wrote it. I phonetically spelled it. I had some kind of mental block.
It wasn't
block.
Just that. We had some other little problems maybe at the beginning that we've, ironed out.
Yes, we have ironed them out.
And I think we started with...
I carry my electric iron with me all the time.
Wait a minute. I think we started with 6 celebrity scoops each hour or something
and
like
music.
That.
And music.
And some song.
Yeah. We
so
were trying to...
Get everything in.
We were very nervous.
And we had a script.
Yeah.
It was funny.
We had a script.
You wrote it.
I know.
And you made me say it.
I was like, hello, I'm Carl Amari.
And I'm Lisa Wolf.
Yeah, it was like, hello, I'm Carl Amari.
And I'm Lisa Wolf.
And this is...
The
WGN Radio Theater. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
You know what? Is there any way we could erase that first show?
No, it's a time capsule.
Oh.
Right. Yeah,
it's meant to be. We can laugh about it now.
Yeah, man. You know what? I have gotten so much better.
Have
you've basically stayed the same.
Have you gotten better?
Yeah.
I was just checking.
You've basically stayed the same.
Well, compared to you, that's, that's stellar.
Lisa, you've always been good, even from show one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've
really.
It's both been a growth process.
Yeah.
We're still here.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah. All right, so in this hour, we're going to tune into the Screen Directors Playhouse, and we're going to present a radio dramatization of the movie that Brad and Angelina met while starring in. This is based on that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So I thought I'd play that just for giggles. Just for some giggles.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, Jennifer Aniston called me and said, hey, why don't you play that Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I bet she is.
Episode.
She's laughing all the way.
That might be a lot of fun. All right. And all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This fine actor stars in the war thriller Allied as an intelligence officer in 1942 who encounters a French resistance fighter on a deadly mission.
This is like his third or fourth war movie this guy has done,
Yeah, and we've been talking a lot about him.
Yeah, all right, here...
Just so you know, if you get this correctly and you are the right caller, you will win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
All right, there you go, $25. 312-981-7200. Here's his voice.
I'm putting together a special team. We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only. Killing Nazis.
All right. You know who that is? Give us a call. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I'm putting together a special team. We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only. Killing Nazis.
And we have Todd on the line from Sun Prairie. Hey, Todd.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How's it going?
Hi, Todd.
Very good.
Good, good, good. Great. Who's that actor?
I thought it was a trick question because it sounded a little too easy.
I know. You know, that's a complete coincidence that Brad Pitt is the correct answer.
It was a coinky-dink.
It was a coinky-dink. We were talking about Brad Pitt, and we played this radio show. At, you know. Anyhow, you are a winner of this complete coinky-dink, and you have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep-dish pizza, and my favorite, of course. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. Thanks a lot, Todd, for staying with us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's time for the Screen Directors Playhouse. There were several radio shows, Lisa, that dramatized movies on the radio, which is kind of tricky when you think about it, because a movie is made for a visual medium, and they had to take the original script, which was a screenplay, which, again, when the writer wrote the screenplay, he was thinking about it visually, not being broadcast
on
radio.
Right, like a two-hour-type screenplay.
So there was a couple of people, a couple of guys and gals in the movie business that were really good at taking those kind of scripts and adapting them so that they would work on radio. Very, as I say, very tricky. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had that same sort of an issue when I took the Twilight Zone television show and turned it into a radio drama. I hired some great writers that understood the how tough that is to take something written for a visual medium and then make it work on radio. But they did it great on the Screen Directors Playhouse. They did it great on Academy Award Theater and Lux Radio Theater and some of these other ones. We have a Screen Directors Playhouse presentation now of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, a good comedy about a feuding couple who discover that they're not really married after all. Now, this was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. It was the only, I think it was one or maybe one of the only comedies he ever directed. And he appears on this real quickly for a curtain call. And the star is Elizabeth Montgomery's dad, Robert Montgomery. Also Mary Jane Croft in this and Verna Felton. Let's go back to January 30th, 1949 for part one now of Mr. and Mrs. Smith on the Screen Directors Playhouse.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater presents Screen Directors Guild Assignment. Production, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Director, Alfred Hitchcock. Star, Robert Montgomery. This is the Screen Directors Guild presentation of A Comedy of Marriage, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Robert Montgomery and introducing the director of the film, Alfred Hitchcock. Like every other art, the motion picture has developed its own popular catchphrases of evaluation and criticism. One of these is the Hitchcock touch. The Hitchcock touch is more than an artist's signature. It represents the highest pitch of the screen director's art, an indelible impression of the director's unique talents upon the other ingredients of the film. And now it is with pride that the NBC Theater presents the screen director of Mr. and Mrs. Smith and such other unforgettable pictures as Rebecca, Shadow of a Doubt, Spellbound, Notorious, and Rope. Ladies and gentlemen, Alfred Hitchcock.
Thank you very much. It would seem that after a decade of directing motion pictures in this country, I have become associated with that emotional skyrocket, suspense. So perhaps I should warn you that tonight, suspense has been suspended. I must confess to several attempts to scare the daylights out of an audience, or at least to tie their nerves into pretty little knots. But in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we reversed ourselves and turned to comedy. So don't bother sitting on the edge of your chair. It might strain your diaphragm if you feel a giggle coming on. Now we give you Mr. and Mrs. David Smith, a family with a formula, a couple with a constitution, a set of rules for a successful marriage. There has just been a domestic battle between the Smiths. Right now, handsome David Smith is reclining on the bathroom floor, his head pillowed on the bathroom scales. Anne Smith is brandishing a razor at her husband's throat. Mrs. Smith is shaving Mr. Smith. That's right. Mrs. Smith is shaving Mr. Smith. And they are both feeling very smug about the latest success of domestic diplomacy.
Oh, easy with that razor, Anne.
You look like five of the men who mutinied on the Bounty.
I'm late for work.
Now, hold still.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry.
You realize that I've been away from the office 3 solid days?
I know. But we had to keep our main rule. You are forbidden to leave the apartment after a quarrel unless you've made up.
Yeah.
If every married couple had that rule, there'd never be a divorce.
No one would ever get down to the office either.
We've got respect for each other, David.
Yep, that's our big trick. Mm.
David.
Uh-huh.
We're very happy, aren't we?
Well, what do you expect me to say at the point of a razor?
David, if you had it to do all over again, would you marry me?
Uh-oh.
Remember Rule 7. Be frank and honest with each other at all times.
Well, frankly and honestly, if I had it to do all over again, I put that razor down a minute, will you? Thanks. I wouldn't marry you.
What?
Well, a man gives up so much freedom and privacy and independence when he gets... Oh, now your feelings are hurt.
Oh, no. No, it's perfectly all right.
So can I get up now and go to work?
Of course, David, if you want your freedom.
I just want you to get up off my chest, darling.
I don't want to cling to my husband if I'm not wanted.
Anne, I do want you. I love you. I'm crazy about you. I'm used to you.
Oh, if my only hold on you is that you're used to me.
Darling, you're my little girl, and I'm frantic about you. Now, forgive me. Say you forgive me. Oh, come on, say you forgive me.
I forgive you.
Well, give me a kiss. Now, can I get up and go back to work? Morning, Jeff.
Well, good morning, David. Glad to see I have a partner in the law business again. You've been out 3 days this time.
Well, you know how Anne is, Jeff.
You don't have to apologize to me, David. I envy you from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, she's a good kid.
Oh, well, there's a little guy named Deaver waiting for you in your office.
Deaver. Never heard of him unless it's Danny Deaver. They hung him in the morning, didn't they? Oh, well, I'll go right in and talk to him. Hi there, Mr. Deaver.
Good morning. Mr. Smith, I take it?
Yeah, yeah. What can I do for you, Mr. Deaver?
Beecham is on the other side of the river.
It is? Say that again, will you?
Well, Beecham is on the other side of the river.
That's nice.
Yes, but it was always incorporated in Brender County, which is in Idaho. You follow me?
Yes, we're in Idaho. Go on.
Yeah. Well, we in Beecham found out that we belong in Nevada.
Yes.
So anybody who got married in 1946 with an Idaho license...
Yes.
Like you did...
Oh.
Well, they aren't really married.
Oh, they aren't?
Oh, you really are married and everything, but the Chamber of Commerce figured if everybody got married all over again, it'd be better.
That's pretty funny.
And so here's your $2 back. Now you can use it to get another license.
Well, now that's very square of you boys in Beecham.
You just get married again, that's all.
Oh.
Well, I've got to be on my round. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Goodbye, Mr. Deaver. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no. Not at all, thank you.
Yeah. Mrs. David Smith. Now, Miss Anne Krausmeier. Miss Albright, get me my home, please. Little Annie Krausmeier, my favorite date.
And with Beecham on the other side of the river, Mrs. Smith, that makes us in Nevada, not Idaho. So the marriage isn't legal.
Not legal? But for 3 years...
Oh, it's nothing serious, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, no, just a matter for the vice squad, that's all.
Please, Mrs. Smith.
Stop calling me Mrs. Smith, as though that makes a good woman out of me.
Well, all you do is get married again and everything. I explained it all to your husband.
Oh, then David knows about it, too.
Spoke to him an hour ago.
Well, why didn't he tell me about it when he telephoned?
Well, you see...
Oh, yes, of course. That's why he invited me to Mama Lucy's restaurant.
Yes.
That's where he proposed to me 3 years ago.
Oh.
He's going to ask me again tonight. He's a dear.
Well, just so he isn't a stag.
Oh, Mr. Deaver. Oh, he'll ask me tonight. He'd better ask me tonight. It's a lovely dinner, isn't it, David, dear?
Going up in price since 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, some things haven't. I mean, like postage.
Airmail just went up to 6 cents.
Well, yes, but I mean, like, permits and licenses and stuff.
Yeah, fine if you own a dog.
David.
Now, don't nag me about buying a dog again, dear. No.
David.
Yeah?
Where are we going to go after this?
Home.
Well, aren't we supposed to do something before we go home?
Nope. Just go home.
Oh. What happened at the office today? Anything new? Exciting, unusual?
Same old routine, same old palaver. Yakety, 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 yakety.
That's all?
That's all.
That does it. That does it.
Anne.
You know we're not married.
Annie, the public.
You were just going to go through life with me with that silly, oh, what I know about us expression on your stupid face.
Put down that champagne bottle. I was going to tell you later.
Back home and without getting married, sure.
Annie, everybody
if
is
If you don't
looking.
Leave me alone, I'll call the police.
Annie, for heaven's sake.
Help, please.
Annie, great Scott.
This man is molesting me.
Annie.
Help.
Annie,
help!
Oh, for crying
help!
Out. Annie!
Well?
Remember me?
Libertine.
Brought you flowers.
Eat them.
Ow! Bite-O's. You broke Bite-O's. Bite-O's is bleeding. Ed, open this door at once. Ed! Anne.
Stop following
you're
me.
You're my wife.
We are not married.
All right, we'll get married. Does that suit you?
That's a nice, snarling proposal. Well, I wouldn't have you.
What's the matter with me? Name one thing about me you don't like.
Oh, my, aren't we vain?
One thing I am not is vain.
Oh? What about that tar stuff you kept rubbing in your hair that smelled up the bedroom?
I was only trying to keep my hair for you.
Well, keep it for yourself. I've got hair.
Oh.
Now, beat it before I call the police.
Now, you see here, Anne.
Help! Please, Annie. Measure,
Annie.
Measure, public nuisance.
Oh, Annie.
David, as your friend, as well as your law partner.
Yeah, I know. I'll catch up on my work, Jeff. Don't worry.
It's not that, Dave. I want you to drop into your own apartment tonight for dinner. I'll be there.
You? What for?
Well, Anne is fond of me, and I'm fond of her. I think I can get this thing straightened out, Dave.
Why, Jeff? Jeff, you're the best friend a fella ever had.
We're partners, aren't we?
You're the best partner a fella ever had.
We were schoolmates, David.
Yes, and you were the greatest halfback that Alabama ever had.
You mean that, Dave?
I used to think that Hinkle was the greatest, but Hinkle couldn't lay a hand on you.
Thank you, Davy boy. Thank you.
That's the first portion of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Robert Montgomery on the Screen Directors Playhouse. Let's take a break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Night preseason hockey from the United Center. The Blackhawks and the Penguins. The pregame at 7 on Blackhawks Radio. 720 WGN.
All right, it's news time in a minute here, and we come back from the news. It's the conclusion to the Screen Directors Playhouse, starring Robert Montgomery. Also in the cast, Mary Jane Croft. And who else is in this? Pat McGeehan and Verna Felton as well. Now, next week, when Lisa and I and Elif are back here at our regular time, Saturday and Sunday nights, from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. next week, what do we have, Lisa?
We have Mystery in the Air.
Oh, wait. Before you say this, we start our Halloween programming next week.
Right.
Yeah, that's
our
what we're doing.
October stuff. Well, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Mystery in the Air, The Great Gildersleeve, and Inner Sanctum. That will be on Saturday night. On Sunday night, we've got The Screen Director's Playhouse, The Life of Riley, and Escape.
Yeah, well, now here's the deal. So all through October on Saturday and Sundays, there'll be two mysteries each night and one sort of comedy. That's what we're doing. Now, even with like The Great Gildersleeve here, he visits a haunted house. It's like a Halloween show or something like that. So like the comedies, they visit haunted houses or it's Halloween show or they go trick-or-treating or something. It has to do with Halloween. And then the other ones are just scary episodes. Like Mystery in the Air next week, that's Peter Lorre.
Yeah.
I think we're playing The Whore Law, which is a very scary episode. And The Escape is a very, very scary one, too. So you're going to get some great, some really great Halloween shows
throughout October,
every single Saturday and Sunday. So mark your calendar for that. You know what, Lisa? I think we should, and Roger would like this, I think we should work with a theater, you know,
because
you're Miss Broadway. We should work with a theater, with a great theater. Somewhere in the Chicagoland area, great theater, and because we should be doing radio dramatizations.
Radio dramas, and I know we've done some before.
I was talking to David Fink, who was on Rick Kogan's show. We were talking about possibly doing something at the Acorn Theater, which is a terrific, terrific theater. But whether it's there or somewhere else, we should be having once a month, bring in a star, bring in a celebrity, right? Besides you, and have them, you know, and maybe we do 3 half-hour dramatized radio shows and have the sound effects guy up there, a girl, mm-hmm. and then an organ, and then the audience
comes in
there, and the audience gets to see a live radio.
Like one weekend.
Yeah, we
month.
Do like a detective, you know, maybe one weekend it's detectives, right? So we do 3 detectives. Maybe the next month it's 3 comedies, and the next month, but we bring a celebrity in. I think it would be a lot of fun, and then you can show your acting chops
as well
out there.
As can you.
No,
you,
I wouldn't want to.
Oh
act.
No, you got to be the bad guy. Come
no,
on, Carl.
I would direct him. I like directing.
All right.
Yeah, I would direct him just like with the Twilight Zone.
Yep.
You know,
you are an excellent director.
Listeners, would you like that? If we did something like that with the WGN Radio Theater, let us know. Text us 312-981-7200. Would you come out for that? I mean, we would keep the ticket price low, probably like in the $15 range, and we'd probably give a goodie bag and stuff like that. You know, and it would be there'd be.
And we'd be there, and we would love to meet all our listeners.
I'm Elif, what do you think of that idea? Having like once a month, and we promote it, and let's say this month coming up, it's going to be 3 detective shows, and next month it's going to be 3 sci-fi shows, and the following month it's 3 westerns. And then we bring in like a Tim Kazurinsky, or we bring in, you know, David Pasquazi, or somebody from the Chicagoland area who's a celebrity to star in them, and then we get other actors to be in them.
That would be cool.
You like that?
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing you want to think about, to mention. The weekends are the theater's biggest time. That's when they have all their shows. We may need to work around them.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, Friday night and Saturday night are when the theaters are thriving.
I think we'd have to do it 1 show on Friday night, 2 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. Something like that.
Yeah, it'd have to be, you know, during a dark time.
I'd love to know what our listeners think of that. So text us, let us know, 312-981-7200. Is that something you'd like to see where it's a live drama? I mean, you know, done really well, you know, with professional actors, you know, AFTRA, you know, actors. So it's really done well.
You know, not maybe that different than what we did around Christmas time for A Miracle on Jerry Wells Street.
Yeah,
that we
something
did right
like that.
Here at
sure,
WGN.
Sure, absolutely.
But a shortened version. That
well,
was, that
I was
pretty
thinking
long.
We would do 3 half-hour shows, and then you have 2 breaks, you know, 2 15-minute intermissions. So it'd be a 90, be like a 2-hour presentation, 90 minutes of content, and then the other 2 15-minute breaks, something like that.
Yeah, we'll talk.
All right, 312-981-7200. Love to know what our listeners think of that idea. We're tuning in to Mr. and Mrs. Smith on the Screen Director's Playhouse. Here is the conclusion.
Hello, Anne.
Come in, David.
Anne, I want to tell you here and now how sorry I am
about... Talk to my lawyer.
Lawyer? What lawyer? Hiya, Jeff.
Anne has asked me to represent her in this case, Dave.
She what?
Asked him to represent me.
She doesn't really need a lawyer, you know.
Well, then you ought to do fine.
Dave, as a lawyer yourself, you know that Anne may halt this relationship between you at any time and marry someone else. As in the case of Peterson versus Peterson, Adams versus Adams, and Gimble versus New Pennsylvania Coal Company.
Stabbed.
Now, David boy...
That's dirty tennis.
David, I'm asking Anne here in your presence if she'll think of me as a possible someone else to succeed you, David.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, Jeff. You know I've always been fond of you.
Thank you, Anne. I shall regard that as encouragement.
Oh, Jeff.
That settles it. Goodbye, Anne.
Oh, goodbye, Dave.
And you, Jeff Custer, comparing yourself to Hinkle as a football player. You couldn't even wring out Hinkle's sweatshirt. Goodbye.
Hello?
Anne, darling.
Oh, yes, Jeff.
Great news. My mother and dad have just come up from Alabama. They want to meet you.
Meet me? But I'm a Yankee.
When they see you, they'll forgive you. Meet us all in our office in 30 minutes. And, oh, Anne.
Yes?
You know that daring, rather low-cut dress of yours?
Yes.
Don't wear it.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, y'all.
So, you're my boy's fiancée. Where are you?
Those lovely Confederate gray eyes.
Well, thank y'all.
Any of your family from the South, Miss Krausmeyer?
Well, no.
Oh?
But an ancestor of mine deserted from the Union Army.
Many Northerners saw it that way. Yes, I commend him quite highly. Son, this young lady will do.
Jeff, my secretary tells me that... Am I interrupting something, Jeff?
Mother, father, David Smith, my partner.
How do you do? Happy to know a partner of Jefferson, sir.
And this is Anne Krausmeyer, Jeff's fiancée.
We've met, I think.
Fiancée?
And I was just about to suggest a boat trip for Anne and Jeff to New Orleans.
Boat trip? Oh, but Anne isn't a very good sailor, I know. I tell you what, though, Jeff. If she gets sick on the boat, you put her to bed and put a hot water bottle on her stomach and hold it there.
Hold it there?
No matter how she hollers, you hold it there. Never failed with us, did it, Anne?
David fancies himself quite the doctor.
Yes, and by the way, Anne, when does my laundry come back? I'm out of shorts.
Shorts?
His running shorts, Mrs. Custer. Every morning, David runs 5 miles.
Runs? He's a Yankee, all right.
Anne sort of took care of David's things around the house, Mother.
Yes, best little housekeeper you ever saw. And let me tell you something. I know of no finer compliment than this. When I've been sitting across the breakfast table for a woman for 3 years and still want to marry her, that girl has something.
Well.
Jefferson, may I see you all in private?
Why, certainly, Father. In this other office.
Come along, Mother.
Sir.
Come along.
David Smith, I hope you're satisfied making those two fine old people miserable.
Well, what about me being unhappy?
You're always thinking of yourself. Why can't you be like Jeff?
Because I can't climb trees.
Oh. Jeff is so kind and considerate and gentle.
Since when are you so crazy about the gentle act? Do you recall how I grew this scar on my forehead? You threw a bed lamp at me. I was out for 3 days.
That's only because you'd been out for 2 nights.
Very funny.
It's all right, Anne. Anne, I explained the entire situation in quick order.
We understand completely, Anne.
And we want you and Jeff to visit us at Lake Placid next week.
Lake Placid? Oh, I'd love it. Thank you.
As for this northern lawyer...
Mr. Custer, is it my fault that I'm related on my mother's side to General Sherman?
General Sherman?
Father!
You are listening to the Screen Directors Guild production of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Robert Montgomery with Mary Jane Croft, and introducing the director of the film, Mr. Alfred Hitchcock.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for driving us up here, boys. We'll telephone the hotel if we need you.
All right, Mr. Custer.
Oh, this air is so invigorating. Whew, wonderful.
There's our cabin, Anne.
Oh, it's large, isn't it?
There are three suites altogether. Three suites in a unit.
Oh, I see.
You'll find your suite quite comfortable, I trust. They're adjoining, but not connecting.
Oh, dear proper Jeff. Hey, maybe there'll be some time for skiing before it gets dark, huh? Oh, Jeff. Who's that coming out of the suite on the other side of my suite?
Devil.
It's David.
The same thing.
Oh, he's ill. Look, he's staggering. He'll fall down the steps. David, you'll fall. Oh.
He did.
David. David.
There. That gets him in bed.
Oh. Here, help me get these wet clothes off him.
Why, Anne?
Oh, we'll go away the first 2 weeks in December.
What's he talking about?
Oh, we were going to come up here the first 2 weeks in December.
Delirium.
You'll be crazy about it, Anne.
Oh, he's been up here all week torturing himself. Well, come on, help me get him undressed.
Anne!
Well, I'm his wife. Come on.
Look out!
Huh? Don't fall now.
Oh, you see, he thinks we're skiing. All right, now, come on, off with his clothing.
Watch out there.
Never try to pass a tree on both sides at once.
He's so sick. Is that a rattle?
I don't know. I wish I could hear it again. He's just clearing his throat.
Oh, he looks awful.
He could do with a shave.
I'll shave him.
You will?
I always shaved him. I'll find his shaving stuff in this bag here.
Just a minute, Anne.
Huh?
He's asleep now.
Oh, poor boy.
Let's go next door to your rooms. I want to talk to you very seriously. And so that's my position, Anne. I love you, and I want to marry you. But I'm not sure that you're not still in love with David. Perhaps you better think about your promise to marry me, Anne, for your sake.
Jeff, I don't think a person ever existed who was as fine and generous as you are.
I'm thinking of your happiness, Anne.
You're very sweet. Now I better have a look and see how David's doing.
Don't wake him up.
Well, I'll just have a look through his window. I'll be back in a minute, darling. Oh, the beast! The scheming, tricky beast! I'll murder him for this. I'll have his heart out. You!
Anne.
Sitting up in bed, sucking on oranges, smoking cigarettes.
And put down that lamp.
Pretending you came here on a heartbroken bender, the big sympathy act.
Anne, I love you. Put down that lamp, and you love me, and I won't give you up. I won't let you marry that heap of southern fried chicken.
I love Jeff, and he loves me, and don't you call him fried chicken.
You're not going to get married.
We are going to get married.
You can't. What kind of a combination is fried chicken and calf's brain?
You!
Well, all right, all right. I've done all I could to win you back because I wanted you back. I've neglected my work and lost clients, and now I'm through. Washed up. Go on, marry the guy. I hope you'll be very happy. And may all your children be dietitians.
Oh, you! Ooh. Jeff, I can't help worrying about David. He really does love me. Now he'll take to drinking.
Or he'll find someone else, Anne.
Oh, no, no. I'm afraid he'll ruin a brilliant career on account of me. If I could only make him hate me, despise me, if I could disillusion him somehow, if I could make him think that I... Yes. Jeff, you go back to your suite. And whatever you hear in here, don't do a thing.
What are you going to do, Anne?
The walls are paper thin. He could hear everything. If I pretended you were still here and... Well, not the gentleman that you are.
Oh, I understand.
Yes.
This is a mighty fine thing you're doing for a man.
Yeah. Well, go out, but don't make a sound.
Good night, Anne.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Good night.
Well, here goes. Oh, Jeff! No. Oh, Jeff, you were always such a gentleman. No! Oh, no, not Jeff, don't. No, no, I said don't. No, no! Oh, Jeff. Oh, Jeff, you're so strong. I never realized you were so... Oh, no! Jeff! Jeff, now, look, now, if you don't behave, I'll have to ask you to leave. No, 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 please, Jeff! Oh, Jeff. Oh, no, what would your coach in Alabama think if he knew?
All right, Jeff, put her down, you big hunk of, you hunk, oh.
David Smith. I despise you for busting in like this.
I see. Well, there's just one way of handling you, and that's rough.
Let go of me, you northern lawyer.
You're coming home with me.
I'm not. Jeff, help. SOS. Jeff, help. Help.
Anne, David, come to your senses. Both of them.
Get him. Hit him, Jeff. Let him have it. Murderize the bum.
Well, start murderizing.
David, I'll forgive you.
Oh.
For heaven's sake.
Well, would you respect me more if I knocked him down, Anne?
Would I? Why, you big hunk of southern fried chicken.
What?
I bet your mother was scared by a magnolia blossom.
No.
Now get out of here before I forget I'm a lady.
What? The lady says be so kindly as to scram, Jefferson.
Gladly. And what a narrow escape I've had.
Your slip is showing. I'm getting out of this. Clam bake.
Chicken fry.
Chicken fry.
Hey, what are you doing with the skis?
The sleigh service is discontinued after 10 at night.
Well, spend the night here.
Not on your life.
Okay. Here, let me fasten your skis for you.
No, it's all right. It's all done.
All set to go?
One side, please.
One moment.
Get your hands off of me.
A gentle, firm pressure on the shoulders
quit
this.
Quit shoving! Hey!
May easily upset a skier and render him or her helpless.
Pull me out of this chair. You hear me?
Hmm?
What are you going to do? I warn you, I'll kill you in cold blood. Some night when you're fast asleep, I'll...
Shut up.
At breakfast, there'll be... ground glass and...
I said shut up.
I'll say I was cleaning my gun when... accidentally...
Hmm?
I'll even say...
Yes?
I... Oh, David.
The NBC Theater has presented the Screen Directors Guild production of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Robert Montgomery with Mary Jane Croft, and introducing Alfred Hitchcock, the director of the film. Tonight's cast included Carlton Young, Verna Felton, Pat McGeehan, and Dink Trout. Mr. and Mrs. Smith was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley, associate producer Bill Karn. Your announcer has been Frank Barton. Mr. and Mrs. Smith was produced by RKO. Listen again next week when the NBC Theater presents...
Screen Directors Guild Assignment, production Hired Wife, director William Sighter, star Rosalind Russell.
The Screen Directors Guild program came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have it, the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Good comedy starring Robert Montgomery, along with Mary Jane Croft and Verna Felton on that episode from January 30th, 1949, is heard on NBC. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Next week, when we're back here on Saturday and Sunday, we have more classic radio. We're going to start our Halloween programming. And I know Nick DiGilio likes the scary stuff, right, Nick?
It's my favorite.
Oh, hang on a second, sir. Let's say it again.
It's my favorite time of year, Halloween.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I love Halloween.
Yeah.
We've got some scary stuff coming up next week and all through October. We have Mystery in the Air next week with Peter Lorre. We'll tune into Inner Sanctum Mysteries. We have an Alfred Hitchcock-directed Screen Directors Playhouse. We have Escape. Then we have a couple of comedies that are revolved around Halloween, like Trick-or-Treating and stuff like that, Gildersleeve, and also The Life of Riley. So I know you know these radio shows.
I do, yeah, absolutely.
So what's on the show this morning?
Movie reviews with Colin and Eric.
Yeah.
My dad will call in and tell a joke.
Yes.
And Vulture.com, this website, Vulture.com, has taken every single Seinfeld episode, all 169 of them, and ranked them from best to worst.
Really?
So I've seen every single episode of Seinfeld hundreds of times each. So I looked at this list. It's kind of interesting, so we're going to talk about that.
Have you ever had Jason Alexander on?
I've never had Jason. I've never had anybody.
If you ever want to have him on, let me know. I'll get in touch with him.
He's my favorite character.
Good pal.
George Costanza is
He did about 10 Twilight Zones
for
me.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's just he loves to work. He's just he just loves working. Every time he'd come into the studio, he did my Bible projects.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he'd come into the studio, he was always prepared, gave me just over and over. He's like, hey, I'll do it this color, I'll do it this color. I'm just a great guy to work with.
No, he's great.
And
he's great.
He'd be fun to talk to on the air about Seinfeld.
Absolutely.
And some of his
stuff. That's coming up. I don't know, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and read the article. I'm not sure if it was like a group of people or one person who ranked all 169
right.
of them. But it's at vulture.com.
And then when is The Exorcist on
week
the big
Tuesday.
Screen?
Oh, week from Tuesday, October 4th.
I might have to come out and see that.
It's the extended director's cut.
Wow.
So it's got the crazy spider walk scene where she crawls down the stairs like a spider.